This podcast is brought to you by Dinglemount Church. It will open up God's Word to you, inspire you to love God and grow in the knowledge of Him, and challenge you to live a victorious Christian life. Be blessed as you listen.
Once again, welcome to church, everyone here tonight. And this is obviously the first Sunday in our month of evangelism. And like John rightly said, we had a wonderful service this morning with members of the Open the Book projects that came to share and to speak to us. And I'm sure some of us might be wondering the emphasis of the month of evangelism. All we're trying to do is just to get the members of this church to sensitize us to the need for us to not just reach out to those that don't know Christ in our community, but for us as a church to also look at ways we can be more effective in our outreaches and how we can connect with people. So what we are doing is on a Thursday, we are coming together to discuss, to talk, and to look at various things. And then on Sunday, like I've said, we might be having people come in to share things with us, what God is doing, either from other churches, other parts of the world. And then hopefully the weekends we'll have other activities going on as well, things like prayer walking door to door, and then the fun day we're having in the car park. And if you can, maybe within this month, just invite someone to church, that would be great. Someone that maybe you've prayed for, or maybe somebody that you know, but you've never really bothered to extend an invitation to them, maybe just to say, do you go to any church, or would you like to come to Dinglemount Church, or just to come and be a part of what we're doing on the 26th, which is a fun day? I think maybe that would be great if we can give that a thought. Because sometimes, you know, we really don't think about extending that invitation as much as we should be doing. And we assume it's possible they go to other churches, but you never know. You might just say, can you come with me? Or just come and be a part of what is going on here. And I'm sure God would honor that as you do it. All right, our scripture tonight, what we'll be looking at tonight is Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew's Gospel chapter 9, we're going to read just, I think, three verses of scripture from Matthew's Gospel chapter 9. And what we are going to be looking at this night is actually what's the motivation for us to reach out to people. And we're going to see what motivated Jesus, why he had to do some of the things he did, apart from we know that he came as the Son of God. But you will see what Jesus Christ did in these verses of Scripture. And that's what we're going to be exploring tonight in Matthew's Gospel chapter 9. And I'll read from verses 35 down to verse 38. Matthew chapter 9, I'll read this on page 940 of the Church Bibles. And he says there, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, teaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing, he says, every sickness and every disease among the people. Then look at verse 26, that's where you see the emphasis. Says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved, this is Jesus, with compassion for them, because they were weary. Some translations will use the word harassed, and some others will use a slightly different word like distressed. He says there, and when he saw that they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd, then verse 37 says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest, he says, to send out laborers into the harvest. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking here. And we just ask that God will bless this portion into our hearts as we seek to explore further what he wants us to receive from it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, this is the month of evangelism, and we are looking at and exploring how best we can not just be effective in what we do, but how we can get ourselves really talking to people and sharing our faith and reaching out to those who don't know Jesus Christ. And I did ask myself a very simple question when I was getting ready, you know, to come to the service, that what kind of impact, if we look inwards, if we look at ourselves or those who call themselves Christians in the city of Liverpool, what kind of impact really are we having on this city of ours? And that's why I'm looking at the motivation. What should drive us to reach out, not just to those who don't know Jesus Christ, but even to those who may know him, but are gradually slipping away from the churches, or those who don't even have any faith in any church anymore. And that's what we see in these verses of scripture that we read, or that I've read to us tonight, where we see from verses 35 that the Bible tells us that this is the ministry of Jesus Christ. He went about all the cities, villages, teaching in their synagogues. It was more like an itinerant preacher who went about sharing and expounding and teaching the people. And then verse 36 tells us that when he then saw the multitudes, this is a great group of people that had gathered to listen to him, something happened in the heart of Jesus. The Bible says that he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered. It says, like sheep having no shepherd. And what I see going on in this scripture is the heart of Jesus Christ. Because before we can think of outreaches or reaching out to those who don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, we need to have the kind of heart that Jesus Christ had when he was here on earth. And that was a heart for people. I can't reach out to anyone. I can't even share my faith with anyone if I don't have a heart for those people whom the Bible describes to us as lost. The popular preacher Charles Spurgeon, whom some of us must have heard of or read a little bit about him, he read this verse, this same verse 38, where he says, "There, therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And this is what Charles Spurgeon said. He said when he read this verse of scripture, he says that it weighed on his heart more than any verse of scripture in the entire Bible. In fact, he said literally that this verse of scripture haunted him perpetually. And that's what we are going to be doing tonight, that as we explore these verses of scripture, as we explore the need for laborers to come into the harvest, that it will haunt us, not in a negative way, but it will cause us to begin to think that what's the need of the hour? What can we do for the church of God, and how can we best reach out to those who don't know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? And if you go back to verse 35, like I said earlier, Jesus Christ, of course, he started the ministry, went about teaching and ministering to those who had needs. And it reminds us of the nature of the ministry that our Lord Jesus Christ had, because he came for one purpose, and that is to reach out to those who are lost. And as he's called us in, or has brought us in, and we have given our hearts to him, we don't have any other purpose apart from living for the glory of God. And in living for the glory of God, he is saying to us, we have to now extend what we have received. On Thursday, we had a simple definition of evangelism, which is just simply one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. And that's what happened to us. We were once like beggars, caught out without hope. But then Jesus Christ came into our lives, made that change. And now God is saying to us, you have found bread. You have eaten of the living bread. Now I want you to go out and also share and tell others where they can find that living bread. But the first thing we need to examine tonight, and I think that this is very, very important, because when you look at the whole verses of the three verses or four that I read to us, you will see three things in those verses of scripture. And the first thing you see is that Jesus Christ saw something. And we're going to be looking at what did Jesus Christ see. And the second thing you see in these verses of scripture is also that Jesus Christ did something, as we see him in the verses of scripture. And then we also see that Jesus Christ felt something. So those three are very, very important. He saw something, he felt something, and then that made him do something. And so if we as Christians really don't see the things that Jesus Christ sees, hardly are we going to feel the things that Jesus Christ feels. And we will never do the things that Jesus Christ did. And you can see that there's a progression there. They all are linked up together. He saw, he felt, and then he did. And in every act of evangelism or outreach, that is what you see. People seeing something, people feeling something, and then people doing something. Even in simple acts of charity, that is exactly what you see. For the past few weeks, you've seen over the TV the horrors we've seen on the news and how desperate people are just to escape or to travel to other countries for safety. I don't know how many of us saw that woman with her little baby on the railway line, and the husband held on to them. And all he was saying is, I'd rather die than what's the point of living. I think he picked up stones and was trying to smash his head. And we saw that, and many were moved by those pictures that we saw. Now, we've seen it. We felt something. And that's why people went on online, started signing petitions, asking the government to do something. So not until we see things, not until we feel them, we will never be called or moved to do anything about those things that we've seen. And that is why we need to constantly examine ourselves and ask ourselves, are we really seeing the way Jesus Christ saw? Are we really feeling the plight the way Jesus Christ felt? And are we willing to do the things that Jesus Christ is calling us to do? So let's start with the first one, and that is Jesus Christ seeing. What did Jesus Christ see? Let's go back to Matthew 9 verse 36 and look at verse 36, and that's where it starts. And the Bible says that when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered, he says, like sheep having no shepherd. And there you see the beginning of the outreach, or how Jesus Christ connected with these people. Probably there was nothing unusual about the crowd that approached Jesus on that day, because the disciples, just like they've always done, follow Jesus. And sometimes you see the crowd coming around Jesus. And there's, I think, an instance, and I think this must be in Matthew 14, yes, but verse 15, where the crowd was so much around Jesus Christ. All they did was they looked at Jesus and said, why don't you send them away? It's a bit overwhelming. And sometimes that could be our attitudes. When we see the crowd, when we see the multitude, when we see the need around us, we feel overwhelmed. And all we can say is, well, why don't they send them away? Let someone else help. But Jesus Christ had a different attitude. And that's why we are looking at what Jesus Christ saw. And the first thing that Jesus Christ saw was that he saw these people, or what you would call people that had a great need, as distressed. And that's the word that you find in verse 36. It says, when he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary. In other translations, he uses the word they were like harassed. And some others will actually use that word distressed. And it simply means these people were troubled. Or what you would call they were vexed in their spirits and in their hearts. Which simply points to the load that people carry. Those who don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I think that this is the question that I should be asking myself, and you should be asking yourself as well. That do you ever look carefully into people's faces when you're in public? And if you do, you will see a lot of distressed, troubled people around. Some of them may be well dressed, with briefcases, look like they are going to work and everything is going well for them. But if you look the way Jesus Christ looked in the faces of people, you're going to see a lot of distress. You're going to see questions that need answers. You're going to see aching hearts. You're going to see void in the lives of people. People that are looking for an embrace or for someone to speak to them and to bring them some kind of comfort. But because we live in such an individualized society where people is all about, well, me, myself, I know what I want to do in life, and I don't really want to be maybe so concerned with someone other person's problems, people are a little bit detached from what others do go through sometimes. But you know, that's why we need to step back a little bit and start asking ourselves that question. Am I seeing lost people, or those who don't know Jesus, or those even around me in my community, as distress? And that's the first thing that Jesus Christ, he saw their weariness. He looked at them and knew that these people possibly have followed him for a long time. And these were people, some of them coming to hear the word, and some of them just following because they needed some food, as is always done when he feeds them, and then he speaks to them, and then they are hungry again, and then you see Jesus Christ speaking to them once again. He saw those people as distressed in their heart. And not just that he saw them as distressed, he also saw them as dispirited. You know what it means when you say someone is dispirited? Because when you are weary and you're tired, it's like you want to give up. It's like you're downcast and you're waiting for something to just give you a little lift or a boost in your spirit. And that can happen to people. Maybe people that live around us, people that we even know that we speak to every single week. We can see not only are they distressed, but we can see they are dispirited. They are downcast. They are thrown down. It's like that utter hopelessness. They are looking for something to give them just that little extra lift in their lives. And the only way we can do this is not just by showing them love, but by pointing them to the one who loved them so much that he gave everything for them. A popular writer, Philip Keller, I think in one of his books, he was describing, you know, when the Bible talks about the Lord being our shepherd, because that's what Jesus Christ does to us. And he was trying to give us an analogy there that what actually you see in the natural is there are some sheep that is called like cast sheep. And what happens is that they fall over on their backs. And when they fall over, they just keep kicking their legs up in the air. And if the shepherd leaves them in that condition, he says they can possibly die or starve to death, literally. And that's what happens to people. They are downcast. It's like they're on their backs like the cast sheep, and they are kicking their legs, struggling, trying to find help, somehow, something to turn them over again. But if we as Christians, those who have found bread, those who have seen the light of God, those whom God has given that heart of compassion, if we don't extend it to them, how can they get back on their feet again? And this is what Jesus Christ saw when he looked at these people. If you go to the book of Ephesians chapter 2, and you're going to see the description of those who live without Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, and look at verse 12 of the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Actually, I'll read it from verse 11, but because it makes a lot more sense there. It says, therefore, remember that you, and this is what he says, you once, this is who we once used to be. It says, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. Look at verse 12. It says, that at that time you were, you see that, without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. He says, having no hope and without God in the world. And this is the description for many in our world today. Not just that there is no God in their lives, no hope, and it's like they are cut off. And when we understand the description that the Bible gives us for those who don't know Jesus Christ, because we look at them sometimes, we say, oh, well, they've got a lot of hope in life. Yes, they may have hope in this life, but what about the life that is to come? And God wants them not just to have hope in this life, but he wants to reconcile and bring them to a place where they can also have hope even in the life to come. And that is what Jesus Christ saw. When he looked at those people, he saw that they needed something. And go back again to Matthew chapter 9 and look at that verse again where we read. And this is quite interesting there, because it says that when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they were weary. And he doesn't stop there. He says, and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Jesus Christ knew that they needed a bit of direction. They needed someone to show them the way forward. They needed some form of leadership. You know, we talk a lot about the young people in our communities today who lack role models. And the question is, where is that going to come from? If God has called us as Christians and called us and set us as his light upon the hill, or whatever the scripture description the scripture uses, then we are the ones who are to model what we want the world around us to be. We model that love. We show them the compassion. We show them the life that God wants them to live. We show them peace in our homes and in our families. We show them that unity that binds us together, that not even our skin colors or where we are coming from, our educational backgrounds, that can separate us. And what we are saying is there is power, there is unity in coming together as one in Christ Jesus Christ. And this is what Jesus Christ saw. Remember, the religious leaders of the time never led the people, although they claimed they were leading them, but they were leading them astray. And the same thing in our world today. People are being led astray. Those who claim they love them are taking a lot out of them than they are giving to them. But Jesus Christ saw that great need in the hearts of the people. And if you go to, the book of John chapter 9, and you're going to see a verse of scripture there in John chapter 9. I'm just going to read John chapter 9 to you, in from verses I think this is from verses 24, John chapter 9, 24. If you read it from verse 24 further down, and you're going to see what happened in that story, because we have the story of a man there who Jesus Christ touched him. And in verse 24, he says, "So they again called this man who was blind and said to him, 'Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner.'" They were trying to turn this man against Jesus Christ. And that's the kind of leaders that these people had. And he answered and said, "Whether he is a sinner or not," he says, I do not know. "One thing I know, that though I was blind," and you see the power of his testimony, "this is who I used to be," like we saw in the book of Ephesians. "No hope, I was cut off, though I was blind, but," he says, "now I see." And look at verse 26, these were the religious leaders. "Then they said to him again, 'What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?' And he answered them, 'I have told you already, and did you not listen? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?'" He said in verse 28, "Then they reviled him and said, 'You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples.'" You can see the mindset of the religious leaders. They never believed in what Jesus Christ truly came to accomplish. And they were trying to get people to see that as well and turn them against Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And sometimes those are the kind of leaders we even have today. Those who don't point people to the Savior. Those who don't say, "This is where you can find life." But they do everything to take people away from that light. But we knew how this man went about and told of the great things that Jesus Christ did for him. How else did Jesus Christ see the people? Look at verse 37. And we're looking at the things that Jesus Christ saw. Remember the progression of thought here. If we don't see, we don't feel, and we are not going to do. Look at Matthew 9:37. Back to the main text. And in verse 37 it says, "Then he said to his disciples," he says, "'the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few.'" And that tells me that Jesus Christ saw the great harvest of souls. The harvest is plentiful. Have you ever, maybe sometimes you walk through your streets or where you live in the community and you're looking at people. Those maybe who don't even go to any church at all, or those who maybe have never even heard the stories of the Bible, or those who have never uttered a single prayer all their lives, do you see there's a great harvest? Or even in your place of work, those who make fun of the gospel, do you look in those places and say to yourself, "Do you know what? There's a great harvest in here for Christ." And this is what Jesus Christ saw. Not just their weariness, not just they were distressed, but he saw that there is a great harvest here. And when you read in through the Bible, there are scriptures in the Bible that actually reinforces this, because that's how Jesus Christ saw things. If you look at John chapter 4, and we're going to look just about two of it, and you'll see that Jesus Christ kept making reference to that. In John chapter 4, verses 35, look at what happened in John chapter 4 and verse 35. And this is Jesus speaking to the disciples. And says here, "Do not say, 'There are still 4 months and then comes the harvest.' He says, 'Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields.' He says, 'For they are already white for harvest.'" And all he's saying is, like I said, he saw something, and he's calling us as his disciples, "See the way I see. Just lift up your eyes and see. Just lift up your eyes in the dingle and you will see. Lift up your eyes in your neighbors and you will see. Lift up your eyes in your workplace, in the schools, wherever you are. You will see the great harvest of lost people." In Acts chapter 18, this is the second scripture again. Remember when Paul in his missionary journeys was ministering, there was a scripture, and this one caught my attention in Acts, and this is what the Spirit of God impressed upon his heart. Look at Acts chapter 18 and verse 10. In Acts chapter 18, this was when he was ministering at Corinth, and look at verse 10, and this is quite an interesting scripture. Or let's read it from verse 9. Verse 9 will give us a bit of a feel. It says in verse 9, it says, "Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision." It says, "Do not be afraid, but speak." And that's what we are called to do. "And do not keep silent." Look at verse 10. It says, "For I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you." But look at the next phrase. "For I have many people in this city."
I'm sure Paul might be looking around and thinking, but where are the people? But that's how God, the Spirit of God, sees it. He looks at the dingle and he says, you know what? I have many people in the dingle who need to come in. I have many people in the city of Liverpool who have not even heard the gospel and they need to come in. I have many people, some of the immigrants we see on the TV set, traveling, some of them have never heard the gospel. And God is looking at some of them and says, I have many people in that migration camp that need to hear the gospel. And that is how we are called to see the great harvest of the hour. And my prayer is that not just as we see these things, but we will come to the next point which we are going to be seeing tonight. And look at that same verse, which is verse 37b of Matthew chapter 9. And that's the next thing that you see that Jesus Christ saw. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 37, the B part of it. After Jesus Christ saw their weariness, and look at what he says there in verse 37b, when he says the harvest is truly plentiful, he says, but, and this is where the problem lies, he says, but the laborers are few. The laborers are few. So not only did Jesus Christ see the great harvest of souls, but he also looked at the laborers and he said, there's an imbalance here, there's a problem. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And I'm sure most of us will agree that in most churches, this is even the same problem. There's a lot to be done, but then you haven't got enough hands to do it. And so you have the same group of people or the little crop of people doing the same task over and over to the point that in their hearts, they're actually crying and say, where are the laborers? Can God please send people to come and help and to support us in what we are called to do? And so Jesus Christ saw that great need for workers to come into the harvest. And I think that this is a great viewpoint that Jesus is giving us here. Actually, what picture he paints for us is that of a farmer who has a great crop ready to for harvest, but he doesn't have enough reapers. And that is, I want you to picture that. You're a farmer, you've got this farm, great crop, everything is ready, but you haven't got enough reapers to bring things in. And sometimes that's how the Spirit of God looks, not just our communities, but even in our churches. There's a lot to be done. A great harvest. It's like the Spirit of God is excited about what's going on. But then where are the people that will come and bring the harvest in? John did announce the harvest that we are going to be having, which is, I think, is quite, it fits in perfectly in our month of evangelism. Because as we are talking about reaching out, and we are going to display all those things right here, the fruit of the harvest, God will be saying to us, that is it. It has come in. What are we doing about bringing the harvest of souls into his kingdom? And that's what Jesus Christ saw, the great need for workers to come in into his field. And so if we see these things, that will then help us to not just feel the way Jesus Christ felt. Because if you think about it, when you look at those verses of scripture, you can see that when he says that when he saw the multitude, the next thing you see is that he then was moved with compassion. So you can see the feelings. Not just that he saw it and he felt nothing, but he saw it and he felt compassion for them. It's like deep down inside, Jesus Christ felt for those people. And that's why I said, not until we feel, we can't truly say we have seen anything. Not until we feel some depth of compassion in our hearts for the things or for the troubles that people do go through, we can't truly say that we have seen. I was reading a little story from a missionary, and this had to do with a woman who was sent to North Africa to reach out to souls. And it's quite an interesting story, and this shows you what compassion can do, feeling for someone. And she tried to reach out to these Muslims for a very long time. For years she's been there and nothing seems to have worked. And so it got to a point, what she felt did was, she started an English class. So she felt if she could teach English and maybe that could soften the hearts of people or kind of bring some kind of connection. And so she started and got a student who was a Muslim as well and began to teach. And over the weeks, the boy kept coming over and over. She was teaching and trying to help him. And I think when it was time for the boy to leave, this woman, all through the period the boy was coming to her, she kept witnessing to him, talking about Jesus Christ, and said, you know what, somebody loves you. have you thought about the good news? And I was explaining, but the boy said, no, I'm not interested. I don't want to know anything about Jesus Christ. I don't want to know anything about the gospel. And when this boy was about to finally leave, it was written from the story that as the woman stood by her door, and this boy walked out of the door, was about to leave, and she shared with him for the last time about Jesus Christ. And the boy looked at her and said, I don't want to know anything about him. I was just about to leave. He said, this woman stood there. She looked at him. She just began to weep. Tears was coming down her face. The depth of love that she had for this young man. And as she was weeping, and it was reported that as the boy was walking down, the boy just all of a sudden turned and looked at this woman and saw her weeping. And turned and came back straight to her. And looking at her right in the face and said, I know you care so much about me. I'm ready to listen, not just to what you have to say, but he says, I'm ready to commit my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And she led him to Jesus Christ. And what that told me, that story, what it explains to me is that sometimes when people don't know how much we care about them, they really don't care how much we know about what we want to share. And this is what Jesus Christ was about. He felt that compassion, and people can feel it. And you could see sometimes he drew people to him. They wanted to listen. They wanted to hear what Jesus Christ had to say. Nothing else melted that boy's heart. Yes, the Holy Spirit was working, but the compassion that that woman displayed, her tears literally melted that boy's heart at that very moment. We need to feel as Jesus Christ felt. And finally, what's the last thing that we have there? We need to then do what Jesus Christ did. So after we've seen, after we've felt the things that people are going through, then we need to begin to do. The question then is, what did Jesus Christ do? The Bible tells us that he ministered to people's needs. And that's what we see him doing in Scripture. He wasn't far removed from the needs of the people. He fed the hungry. He touched the leper. He opened the eyes of the blind. And you see him minister. And that's what tells us that ministry is not done out of context. It has to always be in the context of the needs of the people. When we look around us, there are needs. And that's how ministries are born and developed. When Sticky Fingers came about, that was answering to a need in the community. The youth club is answering to a need in the community. And every activity we have going on here is like meeting a particular need in our community. Jesus Christ ministered. And what we're talking about here now, spiritual needs that need to be met. And not just that he ministered to the needs, but I like what Jesus Christ also did here. He then said in verse 30, he says, therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. In other words, he's saying to them, after you've seen it and you felt it, he says, begin to pray about what you've seen. Now you might I've seen some people read this verse of scripture and they said, well, did Jesus Christ actually pray? He only asked his disciples to pray. But Jesus Christ prayed. If you remember in Luke chapter 6, before he even chose his disciples, the Bible said he has spent all night praying for those who are going to go into the be part of his workforce. So Jesus Christ prayed. He wouldn't be asking his disciples to do things that he himself never ever did. So he's saying, you now begin to pray. You now, there's something that you can do about what you have seen. And I think that every Christian, all of us sitting in this room tonight, we are called to serve Christ. We all have got unique giftings that we can use when we see the harvest. My gift may be different. Richard's gift is different. Every single one of us, there is something that we can do. It's one thing to pray, Lord, send laborers into the harvest. And God is looking at you and say, you know what? You actually can be the one to go into the harvest. It reminds me of a story of a man who went into a prayer meeting and people were praying for money, that God will send them financial help, you know, to do the work. And they actually mentioned the exact amount they were believing. And that man had the exact amount in his pocket. And as they were praying, he said the Spirit of God was convicting him. He said, these people can't spend almost 30 minutes praying and asking God to send help to support them when he had the same exact amount in his pocket. And he said at the end of the prayer meeting, he went to the leader of prayer meeting. He said, you know what? I know why God brought me to this prayer meeting. He says, quit praying about that. Here is what you need. In other words, he is saying, I'm not going to start praying, God, send laborers or send help when I can be the answer to what they are praying. And sometimes that's what happens to us. You come into a church, we are praying for workers, we are praying, we need someone to volunteer to do this. And you close your eyes and you're praying, Lord, send volunteers. And God is saying, you are the volunteer that would answer that prayer. But sometimes we don't tend to see it that way. It's like, well, some other person do it while I sit back and watch. And I think that this is something that we need to start thinking about, that God wants us to see, God wants us to feel, and that God wants us to begin to do. In other words, let's become the answer to the needs that we see around us. Shall we just bow our hearts and thank Him tonight for not just helping us again to see what we need.
If you have enjoyed listening to this podcast, why not join us in worship at the Dingle Mount Church, or log on to our website at www.dinglemount.org for more information. Thank you for listening.